Today's show is for you, the marathoner who wants to improve his or her time by a lot. This is for you if you are in search of Anyway, first, the intro.
Welcome to Hypno Running, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Yes, and welcome to today's show about What is and what has it got to do with running? Hey, if you want to run faster, stronger, if you want to run longer, or just be better or feel fitter whilst running, this is for you. As the lady said, Heiko is my name. Running with a healthy attitude is my game. Corny, I know. Yes, that's why I didn't become a comedian, but a run coach. Thank you for giving me some of your time. You've come back as a regular listener. Thank you. Really appreciate it. If you are a new listener and you're wondering what the show is all about, where did you reach? Oh my goodness, what's coming my way here? Is this going to be a waste of time? No, it is not. Let me quickly give you the summary. It's definitely not a show for the majority of runners out there, because if you expect advice on, drumroll, the best running shoes, or the top picks for running gear 2022, or the best supplement to enhance your run performance, this is not the place. Why not? Well, simple. There are excellent podcasts out there that specialize in those topics that explain about nutrition or focus on some great runners. Hey, I just think, you know, some of the Rich Roll podcasts, they are absolutely brilliant, those interviews. Never mind the 4 to 8 minute ad, by the way, this is an ad-free show. And there are also plenty of shows around there about runners who just talk about how she or he runs. Plenty of those around if you're in search of real life running advice from someone that has been enjoying the sport for, well, nearly 40 years. This is the place. This is it. To be doing something for so long, there has to be some clue, some tip, or some trick as to how this motivation is adjusted. Please note, adjusted. It's not always the same. How the mindset is created to be and to remain running or to stay a runner. You know, getting in and out of injuries, getting in and out of running seasons. And you, my dear listener, you have your own story. And here in this podcast, on this show, this is where you can get some tips, some tricks, some advice on how your story, your run story, is going to become even a better one to remain with the R. So what the show is all about is developing the most important part of your run experience, that specific mechanism or that thought process, that actual decision-making process in your brain, which decides whether you get out and run or whether you find another excuse. Ha! Excuse to stay indoors, an excuse to stay on the couch, an excuse to rather start collecting stamps or playing chess. That what decides whether you train hard and whether you grow as a runner, or whether that medal from 2002 and the t-shirt was good enough. But seriously, was it really all about just being able to say, well, I once did a marathon, or yeah, I did it, you know, twice? Yep, you guessed it. It's not. And that's why we need to look at the brain, about your attitude, your thought process, how you might react to certain situations, and what the benefits could be if you just approach some thoughts or some ideas with a different attitude and perhaps different steps. By the way, it's a clean show. If you want some swearing and some low-level motivation talk, this is also the wrong show. If you want this quick advice, the 3 steps to a much faster... No, nothing like that. It'll take some time to grow on you. It comes out every Thursday. It's usually recorded beforehand. It's recorded in one go. There's no editing and there's no cutting and slicing and what have you. I speak it as it comes to mind. I have some notes jotted down, and basically I try to speak in such a way as though you'd meet me in a real coaching environment, which before COVID was something that I really enjoyed doing, and I hope that we'll soon be able back to normal. Hey, and each season has a very powerful message, so if you keep on listening, this is season 3, the pieces are going to add up, means the various episodes, they add up to help as many different runners as possible explore new options to get a better, faster, or a stronger run experience. It might not be that today's or last week's show was completely relevant to you and your situation, but definitely you will be able to relate to it in some way or another. You know, as runners, we're all unique, each and every one of us, but our situations, and ups and downs with our sport. They are not. So let's dive into today's topic, the marathon, you and the marathon. You have done one or two, perhaps a few more, and you're wondering, what should I aim for? What can I achieve? Of course, the sub 2 hours is not going to be your area. We will leave that to someone else. What an amazing athlete Elliot is going to for that 2 hour limit, breaking it. But tell me, what is a good time you can, might, would, could, should want to achieve? And that's one of the most questions I get asked. What should be a run time? Hey, Heiko, tell me what's your run time like? What? Well, I'm an elite runner or what? Why you want to know my time so it'll help you in what way? You know, I don't know about you. Really, most runners I've coached, and perhaps you too, most probably will look back at the last marathon time. Maybe let's say pre-COVID times. And then what you're going to do is, let's say you did the last marathon in 4:15 or 3:15. And then you're going to look at, you're going to reflect on that past results. You're going to look at the current form that you have and where you currently are at in your training. Those three areas, your last race result, the current form that you have. Well, how do I currently feel? Am I currently injured? Am I currently doing exceptionally well? And regarding in terms of your training, where are you at? And then usually some or other, there's some mathematical calculation. Well, if the last marathon I did in 3:15, I'm feeling pretty good now, and actually I have been training, I have been doing fartlek, I have been doing strength workouts, I have been doing hill training. You know what? I think it's a flat marathon. I'm going to be able to do it in a 3:10 this year. Something happens which makes you go from a 3:15 through a 3:10, or from a 4:15 to a 4:10, or maybe, well, you know, that was a lucky run that I had there to make 4:15. And this marathon that I want to do, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit tighter course, more corners, and it's going to be in summer. I'm not so good in summer. And then somehow you decide to go for a 4:20 time. But you have some or other mathematical formulation that you're doing, and which will then lead you to a question like, is running under 4 hours a good time? By the way, if you run anything under 4 hours, it is considered a good marathon time. It's putting you in the top 43% of runners. But is that really relevant to you, being in the top 43%? Or if you're one of the fast runners and you do a 2:50, by the way, excellent time. That puts you in the top 50 of any major running event. But is it relevant to you? And another option is that it's your first time to run the distance, or the first time after many years. And perhaps you've ran a marathon a couple of years back, and now for some other reason you feel ready to go at it again. You've got that, yes, you're brave enough to face those months of training. And how do you know what is a realistic time for a 26.2 miles if you haven't run it before? Or even if you have run numerous marathons and now you're a middle-aged runner, you're not only getting older with the glory days well behind you, but you simply don't have the time to train like you did in the past. You know you're not going to be able to invest all that time. So how do you get a realistic time? And I love that question from runners, you know, I coach, what is a realistic finish time? You know, and you're not going to like this answer, nobody does, but let's look at the word realistic. People get caught up in that word and they hold on to it for dear life. Having or showing a practical awareness of things as they are. You know, that's what realistic means. She is realistic about her chances of winning. Or realistic also means appearing to be existing or happening in fact. You might use it like the scene in the movie where the dinosaur hatches from the egg is incredibly realistic. Now, if it were a real life environment, there's this great exercise, and we can also do it here over this podcast. And usually if you have a few people in the room, it's a lot more fun. It's not just in sports, but also in a sales or a management environment where each participant is given a sheet of paper and asked to write down, what does realistic mean? Try it. Ask five people. Ask those people you have dinner with every night. Ask those people that you see every day. Ask them to write down, what does realistic mean? You ask 10 people, I guarantee you're going to get 10 different replies. You know, write down, what does realistic mean to you? You know, did you note down the Webster dictionary, the summary, representing things in a way that is accurate and true to life? But this would be taking the podcast into a different direction. The point is, The point is that it's not important what you think what realistic is. It is what the other person is thinking about in that second. My realism and yours are two different matters. So you have to find your own truth. You have to find your own goal, not try to latch onto others and the goal that they set for some other mathematical reason that they can't even explain. If you create goals just because you feel you should, you're not going to succeed, or you're going to be unlikely to succeed in achieving them. No, we as runners, we only achieve real goals that we believe that we must do and can do, you know, and these goals, they are usually non-negotiable. And the same goes for your run time. Aim too low, you're going to hit. Aim too high, and you might miss it. Both are unsatisfactory results. But the last one, to aim too high and to miss it, is usually a bit sweeter than aiming too low and hitting it. So what is true? True is, don't set a goal out of limiting beliefs. Having a certain picture in your mind that is based on an inaccurate scenario. For example, you're currently maybe not in the form where you should be, but a form can be changed so quickly. You're currently injured. An injury can heal so quickly. And representing, projecting this image as a goal, but as time passes, you're not making the progress you should be making. See where this is going? It's leading to more and more confusion. That's why asking for what a good finish time is a wrong question to ask. Okay, not wrong, but not a result-orientated question. Therefore, ask better questions, get better answers. Means, if we look at not what is realistic, but to determine a finish time that corresponds to your abilities and current fitness levels. Boom, there you have it. You're not going to look at what is a realistic finish time, but you're going to determine a finishing time that corresponds to your abilities and current fitness levels. So, considering your current state of mind, on whether you're recovering from an injury or perhaps you have been overtraining, again, a finishing time that corresponds to your abilities and current fitness levels. Snap out of realistic. Snap out of, well, what's the average? Forget that race you did 10 years ago or the one that happened 2 years back and you were lucky. You might have lost some weight. You might have gained some weight. You might have changed your diet for the better. You might have changed your diet for the worse. You might have started stretching or you might have stopped stretching. You might have a lower fat percentage. You might have a higher one. Means wait before writing some goal in stone. Do this first. Drum roll, drum roll, drum roll. What should I do? What should I do? Please tell me. Please tell me. If not the finish time, if it's not the average, not your neighbor or the guy at work who you cannot stand in a way, the answer, so you will remember it, is Megan Trainor. You didn't expect that. Who's that? A new trainer? A new coach? No. Megan Trainor. Do you know Megan Trainor? Because you know I'm all about that pace, no trouble, I'm all about the pace. Huh? You know that song? You know that song? There you go. Leave the pot, I'm bringing booty back. Just change the word base to pace. There you go. That is the secret, not your finish time, not your average, not your comparison, not realistic. Your word is Megan Trainor's song, because it's all about that pace, no travel. If you get the pace right, you become the master of pace. You will become the master of predicting your finishing time, because once you've mastered pace, you can really actually start looking at predictions. And if you ain't got pace, you won't have a reliable estimate. Ha! First thing to do is a situation report. Where are you at health-wise generally? Well, how are you going to do that? We also had that in one of the shows back. Do a Cooper test, a simple Cooper test. 12-minute run fitness test developed by Kenneth Cooper in 1965 or 68. And it's the easiest way to measure aerobic fitness. And it'll give you an estimate of your VO2 max. And the Cooper test, because it's already, you know, over 50 years old, it is reliable and it's still used today to predict aerobic fitness. And Dr. Cooper actually, he found that there's a very high correlation between the distance someone can run in 12 minutes and their VO2 max value, which measures the efficiency with which someone can use oxygen whilst exercising. And this test is still one of the basic fitness tests used in the military. It's also used to determine cardiovascular fitness, to track fitness over time. This simple test also allows you to compare your cardiovascular endurance with others of your age, and that is a reference you can use in your equation. There you go. So it's not asking someone on random. I even see it on some of these Facebook posts. Well, is this a good time or not? You're asking random people, random strangers. Come on, there's an over 50-year-old proven method to do it. It is the Cooper test. There is a fantastic song. It's all about that pace. If you get the pace right and you do the Cooper test, wow. And this tool will help you in the most important part of the whole process. It'll help you find your weak areas, those you improve, because that's where your is. What is the Your as in faster, longer, stronger, further. See? Identifying and then focusing on where you can improve is like starting off with a series of quick wins. Wow. That's what I do. That's why I've been enjoying the sport for such a long time. I look at the areas where I'm currently weak and I improve them, and it gives me a quick wins. And listen, if you've never enjoyed interval training, that's a type of training exercise that involves a series of high-intensity workouts. They include a rest or relief period. Let's say you do 200 meters fast, 200 meters slow, and you do this about 10 or 20 times. And then for the fast intervals, you run at a near sprint, a speed which you can maintain for the whole 200-meter distance, but you couldn't do it for longer than that. That's how fast you want to go. So in the beginning, this feels uncomfortable for many runners that are used to doing long, slow runs, because you may have been focusing on just endurance. But what's going to happen is the performance gain is so huge once you do this. It's nearly like a instant reward, instant satisfaction. Okay, as instant as you can get in running. Point is, you will see the results. You will feel them in no time. And that is your low-hanging fruit. And working on that will ensure your motivation kicks up, stays fired, stays alive. You're getting positive feedback. You're focusing on your running abilities, your journey, not on what your neighbor did or that coach did or what you experienced years ago. So, there you go. In a nutshell, you want faster, better, longer, stronger. Don't compare, rather focus on your weak areas. Learn on how to pace, because it's all about the pace. No trouble, just pace and build from there. And use proven methods like the Cooper test. Don't go in search of the new special mythology that you need to just enter your credit card and you're there. No, do the Cooper test and then be prepared to adjust your planned marathon pace time and calculate your end time or total run time. Your target, because there's nothing more inspiring, nothing more motivating than suddenly seeing a dramatic improvement in your Cooper test, in your ability to hold a pace. And that inspiration will lead you to set a run time that isn't based on others' time, others' expectations, nor will you waste time trying to be realistic and setting yourself too low targets. I tell you, follow this advice and you will join that group of runners that excel, that improve and grow, and therefore remain loyal to the sport of running. If you don't believe in yourself and your abilities, if you allow yourself to criticize your work, to bring you down because, you know, oh, well, my run dream, you know, let's give up on it. Hey, and you know, some people don't even dare to dream. That's a different topic altogether. You may just lose your spark and settle for much less than you deserve. And if you can, somehow muster up the courage and strength to persist, to chase your dreams and to keep believing in yourself, the outcome is going to be completely different, a lot better. Hey, I want to end off with a beautiful verse from the Bible, Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Thanks for listening. My name is Heiko. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.